back to our medical feature called Hey Doc. This morning we are joined by specialist surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussain to chat about thyroid. Specifically, we are chatting about thyroid cancer. So we are taking any questions though that you may have for her for thyroid. I've received quite a few. Let's see how many we can cover. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's continue, doctor. After a patient presents with the symptoms that you've mentioned, what steps do you then take to ensure that they are properly and correctly diagnosed?
So generally, if a patient presents with what is presumed to be a thyroid issue, we will start off by taking a good history, and then we'll do an ultrasound of the neck to see if there are any nodules inside the thyroid, and also to get a better idea of what the thyroid looks like, the size of the thyroid, and if there are any other masses in the neck, and if the problem itself relates to the thyroid. If we do see any nodules, we'll then probably counsel the patient that they need a little a biopsy. The biopsy is a very small needle that we look with ultrasound and we put into those nodules. We take a few cells and we send those away for testing. And then once those results come back, depending on what the result shows, we either may need to confirm a diagnosis, in which case the patient may need an operation to remove a part of the thyroid so that we can make the diagnosis, or if it confirms already the diagnosis of a thyroid cancer, then we would discuss and counsel with the patient to remove the thyroid or the thyroid lobe to treat the cancer. And sometimes, and this is very often, the nodule can come back as benign, so it's not a cancer, it's not a problem, it's nothing that's going to trouble the patient in the future, and that we can just we don't have to treat necessarily. We can monitor that that patient for in the coming years, maybe with a yearly ultrasound, and just make sure there's no progression.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hussain, how is thyroid usually treated?
So it depends on the problem. So sometimes the thyroid can be hyper-functioning, or we call that hyperthyroidism, or it can be hypo-functioning, so not functioning very well, not producing enough hormone. We call that hypothyroidism. And both those diseases are primarily treated with medication. And in the case of hypothyroidism, a lot of your patients will probably know about Eltroxin or use Thyrox. That's the majority of the problem related to the thyroid is actually related to hypothyroidism. In the case of cancers of the thyroid, which is it's more the uncommon thing that occurs to the thyroid, those are treated primarily with an operation, and then after that, if necessary, only if necessary, they treat it with some radioactive iodine, which is not at all like chemotherapy or radiation therapy. It's actually very, very different and extremely well tolerated. It's not something that it sounds much worse than it is, definitely.
Doctor, on that question, I see one from the listener regarding hypothyroidism. I've had hypothyroidism since 2012. Can my thyroid become cancerous as I age?
It can. That is the correct answer. And the reason for that is because just if you have hypothyroidism, it doesn't exclude the fact that you can develop another problem with the thyroid. So we call that dual pathology, and some diseases of the thyroid, like for example Hashimoto's disease that causes hypothyroidism, does actually increase your risk of developing thyroid cancer slightly. So the answer is you can develop thyroid cancer in the long term, unfortunately.
Doctor, lastly, what does the prognosis look like for thyroid cancer patients?
It's actually excellent. It's not like many cancers. Thyroid cancer is extremely treatable. It has an excellent prognosis, a brilliant life expectancy in excess of 10 years for most thyroid cancers. Mostly because thyroid cancers are actually quite indolent tumors. They grow very, very slowly, and they don't metastasize very early. They take a while to do that. And also they are easy to treat. An operation generally for the thyroid, and then radioactive iodine if the cancer has spread to other organs. And radioactive iodine, like I said, it sounds much worse than it is. It's often just a little tablet that you have to swallow, and that's a once-off kind of thing in most patients. So it's very easy to treat with an excellent prognosis. That's the answer.
Well, thank you so much for that, Doc. Now, going to the questions I've received from our listeners, quite a few. We're going to try and keep it brief so we can try and answer more questions, right, Doc?
Sure, no problem.
So, if you are on thyroid meds, does it cause hair loss? This is our first question.
A lot of patients do complain of hair loss while they are on thyroid medication. And my suggestion would be to have your levels checked. So sometimes if the thyroid medication is a bit too much, it can increase the risk of hair loss while you're on Ultroxin. But it is a common side effect of the treatment, yes.
I've had my thyroid removed 40 years ago. I'm on thyroid meds. I've reached menopause 12 years ago, but I'm still struggling with hot flushes. I've been told it's because I don't have my thyroid. So my question is, will I have the menopausal symptoms for the rest of my life? I'm 66 now.
To this question, I would say again, have your thyroid levels checked. Because if your thyroid hormone levels are well controlled, as in the TSH and T4 are within normal limits, then it shouldn't influence your hot flushes, and the two should be independent of each other. And talking about menopause, usually in the majority of people, and note I say majority because not all of us follow the textbooks, unfortunately, it takes about 5 to 7 years for the symptoms of menopause to settle. And that is when the ovarian functions, the ovaries that normally produce estrogen and progesterone, when they stop functioning, your peripheral fatty tissue has to take over, and it takes a while for them to learn and to actually do that job. Sometimes it can take a little longer than other people, and in the majority of cases, like I said, it takes about anywhere between 5 and 7 years. In a selected few patients, they can have ongoing hot flushes throughout their life, but then it's not frequent hot flushes. You can get a hot flush now and again. It's not all the time. But to answer that question, I don't think that it should be related to your thyroid hormone or the lack of a thyroid if your thyroid is well controlled or if you are well controlled on your thyroid medication.
Doctor, the other question, I have thyroid and I am anemic. Any reaction?
No. Please take your medication for your thyroid and please take the medication for your anemia. The thyroid can make your anemia worse, so you need to take both. It's important to take both.
What causes goiter and what is the treatment for it?
So goiter can be caused by multiple things, and it's pretty much, as I mentioned, those various risk factors. It's common in people that are older than 40. If you have a low diet, a diet that's low in iodine, if females often get goiters more commonly than others, if they have hyperthyroidism or multiple nodules within the thyroid, which can be related to cancer or not, there are a myriad of factors that can cause hyperthyroidism and, in fact, a goiter. The treatment for it will depend on what the cause is. So if it's an iodine deficiency, I don't think it will depend on the symptoms. Sometimes we'll offer surgery, even if it's a benign goiter, and the reason for that would be if it's a very large goiter that's causing compressive symptoms, or if it's not cosmetically pleasing, or if we are worried about the cancer in that scenario and we want to make it a diagnosis or confirm a diagnosis. But it's a myriad of causes, and the treatment depends on what the cause is and what symptoms the patient is suffering from.
Doctor, here's the last question and then we're going to wrap it up. Can you please explain overactive and underactive thyroid?
So our overactive thyroid is a thyroid that is producing too much thyroid hormone. And if it's producing too much thyroid hormone, it causes symptoms of hypermetabolism. So it puts you into a hypermetabolic state. So think about if you've had too much coffee or like a couple of cups more than you usually do, those are similar symptoms. So you're going to get a tremor, you're going to get palpitations, hot flushes, feeling hot, heat intolerance, sweating, anxiety, the hair loss in the long term, if it's a long standing thing, those are the symptoms that you can get. And if it's related to Graves' disease specifically, they get eye symptoms where the eyes become quite prominent in the eye sockets. Hypothyroidism is exactly the opposite. It's when your thyroid is not producing enough thyroid hormone to maintain the metabolic functions of your body. So think about when you are really, when you really, really need the coffee. So you're tired, your skin becomes dry, your hair becomes thin and brittle, nails become brittle. I mean, obviously, those are signs of long-standing. You become metabolically slow, constipated, feeling tiredness, want to sleep a lot. Those are signs of and symptoms of hypothyroidism. The hypothyroidism, you want to give patients extra hormone, so it's treated generally with Eltroxin or Euthyrox, giving them extra to maintain the thyroid, to get the levels of thyroid hormone back to normal. And if it's hyperthyroid, you want to get the extra thyroid hormone, you want to get those levels down and to treat the symptoms. So we often treat it with things like propranolol, carbimazole, and drugs of those sorts. But it will depend, obviously, on the problem.
All right. Well, that is it then from us, Doctor. This was very educational and very informative. So thank you so much for your time this morning. We look forward to having you back in the near future once again. Have a blessed week ahead.
Thank you for having me. I hope you have a lovely day too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Specialist Surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussain. If you'd like to get in touch with her, the number is 021-930-2662. That's 021-930-2662.
The Metro FM Music Awards are back.